5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, Pharrell back on Coast to Coast. Wow, how awesome is this? I know that when Warren Sharp comes on Sports Grid, big things happen. And the ratings start popping. The fans love him. And when they play clips of this show with Warren on it, I mean, it just blows my mind. Millions of people go crazy for his analysis. And we're so pleased that we have him on the network. I'm thrilled to have him every week on Coast to Coast. How about an hour today with him? I mean, are you kidding me? This is like free beer. And, are you kidding me? When they, remember the game the other day when they lost power, whatever, they started giving people free beer. And they were like going crazy. Greatest thing ever. Warren's like free beer at the game. All right, Warren, it all starts tonight with Pain Day in SoFi, Lipstick City, the defending Super Bowl champion, Rams, taking on everybody's darling, the Bills, to go all the way and win the Super Bowl. They are the favorites, odds on everywhere. Josh Allen, odds on to be the MVP. You name it, they got it. How are you breaking this one down? Good to see you, my friend.
Hey, good to see you too. Reporting live from MGM National Harbor. Energy is electric here, getting ready for the opening night of the NFL season. And look, Scott, this game is going to be a ton of fun. I'm really interested to see how a couple of factors that aren't being discussed very much are going to play out. One is the circadian rhythm and one is weather. And you're like, why is there weather in a dome? Well, listen to this. The stadium does not have air conditioning. It's open air, but they're in a excessive heat warning out in LA. The temperature right now is about 88 degrees there, but it's going to feel like into the mid 90s in that stadium. There's only been one game out there between the Rams and the Chargers in this stadium last season that had temps of 88 plus degrees ambient air temperature, and that game went over the total, scored 57 points. So I'm interested to see if the heat and the weather end up getting to these guys, even though it's a domed stadium. So pay attention to that. And then the circadian rhythm, for people that aren't aware, this means when an East Coast team's body clock changes because they're going out to the West Coast and their body feels different than the West Coast team, who thinks it's 3 hours earlier. And the stats show that since 2010, when an East Coast team plays a West Coast team in prime time, that's what really matters here, these games are going over the total at a 67% clip. And since 2015, if the total is 47 or more points, 6-0 to the over, Scott. So I think the Bills' defense, pay attention to them in the second half when you factor in the circadian rhythm as well as the weather, and they're playing without Tre'Davious White. We might see a defense that really is going to get stretched thin, and this passing attack with Matthew Stafford and new receiver Allen Robinson could be able to take advantage of that late in this game.
So that is crazy. Now, I got to tell you that I didn't know that that, you know, multi-billion dollar Shangri-La stadium that they play in doesn't have air conditioning. I don't ever remember last year at the Super Bowl them talking about it because it was in February and it was beautiful then and it was 70 degrees and ideal. That is the most fascinating thing I've heard today, maybe in a month, that I forgot that they're having this 100-degree heat wave, triple digits all over the West Coast. It's been insane, the heat, and that you're talking about a 10 to 15-degree difference inside that stadium as opposed to outside, even though it's going to be at sunset when that game kicks off. It's crazy. We welcome all of our radio affiliates to Coast, Sirius XM. Sports Map, Sports Byline, good to have you with us. We're talking to our lead NFL analyst, the guru himself, Warren Sharp, going off from the MGM down in Baltimore. Where is it exactly, that National Harbor? Where is that MGM exactly?
Oxon Hill, Maryland.
Wow, and where is that in terms of Baltimore and the area?
So it's east of Baltimore. It's just outside of Washington, D.C., right off of 495. It's very accessible. You can see it from 495 as you're traveling around the Beltway here in the nation's capital. And it's a beautiful location. And we'll be here every single Thursday delivering these live game updates for an hour.
That is incredible. Did you happen to see on your way there today any bags of money that said Lamar Jackson on them on the side of the road that you could have, like, you know, scurry those up and then take them down to Lamar so he can get his money before tomorrow? You didn't see any bags of money, did you?
I didn't see any, and quite frankly, at this point, I kind of hope that they just don't pay him. I would want to, since I'm backing the Ravens this year, I want to fire it up Lamar, feeling like he needs to prove something. I always worry about guys that just got paid and how they perform. I'd rather wanting a guy out there who feels the need, like he's trying to earn something.
All right, so let's talk again about this Bills game. I love the over with you and that theory, and I love the fact that all week we've been talking about no White, they're starting these rookies, and there's no way they can guard Kupp, Higbee, and Robinson with those kids and stop them with Stafford in charge. He's going to use one of them at least.
Yeah, he is. Another thing that's interesting, Scott, about this game, not as many people are talking about, is the Bills got a new offensive line coach this offseason. His name is Aaron Cromer. And Sean McDermott really was unhappy with the way that this offense was performing in terms of their ability to block. Well, Aaron Cromer, he spent 2 years with the LA Rams before last season. He was let go before last season, did not get a Super Bowl ring, but now he is with the Buffalo Bills. Who better to understand how to deal with Aaron Donald and the rest of that Rams pass rush than their former offensive coach who was going up against these guys twice a week, multiple times in the past couple of years?
We got Warren for the rest of the hour. Go grab a fresh one. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
So Warren Sharp is with us, our lead analyst, and he's at the MGM National Harbor. Styling today, and look at us, we're in the studios and he's out there with all the citizenry. There's people offering him cigars, beers, steaks, women. It's all happening for him. You can hear fans screaming his name. I've been with him for, like, you know, 10 minutes and I'm hearing Warren. They're going crazy for him. He can't even walk to the bathroom. He's like Elvis over there. All right, Warren. So tonight, with all this going on, the rhythm, the body, the temperature, the heat, the rookies, the total we've established, when you saw that they were giving the Rams 2.5, that they won the Super Bowl, and I think Super Bowl champs straight up in this game are 14-2, some trend like that, it's crazy. When you saw that line and it just sat there like a raft in the water and it never moved, it just been sitting at 2.5. What was your initial reaction to it? And have you changed your mind about this game at all since you first saw it pop?
No, I actually haven't. You know, this line way back when opened up with the Bills not laying 2.5, but obviously it's been bet to the Bills laying 2.5 points now. And it doesn't necessarily shock me because, number one, you're dealing with Matthew Stafford's elbow that's been like the talk of the town and he wasn't practicing as much. And then number two, the Bills are the team this year, right? Like they are the team that is expected to win the Super Bowl. And so everybody is hyping them up. It doesn't surprise me that this is 2.5 and is staying at 2.5. I don't think it would get to 3. It would be immediately gobbled up if it got to 3. There are two great ways to play this game. Bills on the money line. Hopefully you did it earlier so you're not laying the price that you would have to right now, or tease the LA Rams up. And people are doing both those things. When you tease a 2.5 point dog, you move them through the 3, you move them through the 7. It's great value for a teaser leg. I personally do believe that the Buffalo Bills are going to come out and win this game tonight, but I have not bet it because I'm not laying that 2.5 point number right now.
Man, I am just like you, brother. I got that Bills at -$1.35. I just went with that. I stayed away from that number. And most of the sharps I know, no pun intended, are on the Bills. That was the play all along. And do you believe in this team as much as the odds makers do and the MVP odds and everything else about Allen and them going belly to belly and getting it done finally after all the black cloud that's been over that franchise and 4 Super Bowls and that 13 seconds at Arrowhead last year? I said earlier on the show today that was the worst moment I've ever seen in sports in 13 seconds. There's no other 13 seconds in sports that you can compare to that meltdown in Arrowhead. And do you believe in them that they can go the distance and win it all?
I do think that they can, but is there value to bet on them to do so? That's the big difference to me. I do think that they should be favored, but I'm not betting the Bills on any futures because I don't see enough value. I see some holes in this team potentially that other people aren't seeing. And I also see such a competitive AFC conference that I just don't want to tie up betting the favorite right now. I never bet them earlier this offseason. I think they are the quote unquote rightful favorite, but they're so close to a variety of other teams, in my opinion, that I don't have enough value backing this team. I would love to see it because that city deserves it, in my opinion. They've been just wanting something like this for so long. I hope that they get it, but they are not the team that I would predict would make the Super Bowl right now. I'm taking some more long shots to make and win the Super Bowl this season.
And Warren, you wrote about earlier today about Cromer's influence on this line and the protection of Josh Allen. Can you elaborate a little bit about some of those numbers?
Yeah, well, so they added an additional offensive lineman this offseason to help stabilize that offensive line. And this preseason, this team ranked 2nd in a metric called yards before contact per rush. What that means is when the running back gets the ball, how often is he contacted with gaining 1 yard or 2 yards down the field or behind the line of scrimmage? You want to have that running back run the ball for a while before he's first contacted. And typically that's an offensive line stat. It's not necessarily a running back stat. The Bills went last season, they were one of the worst. They were not getting push along that offensive line to really help out the running backs get production. And so the run game was terrible and they had to do nothing but pass the ball. They are going to be more balanced this season. And Aaron Cromer is going to lead that charge to help with the blocking schemes to take the new personnel that they've added along the line and help make them even more productive up front. So I think this team is going to slightly lower their pass rate and lean more into the run. I'm interested to see, Scott, if it happens tonight or if we still see them, say, lean into this more. Because one of the fascinating things about the Buffalo Bills, this is a team in their home games, 10-10 over to under. They're basically a coin flip over the last 2 years. But on the road, this team is going over the spread at a 75% clip the last 2 seasons. That's because at home, the weather's been terrible. It makes their defense look a little bit better, and it's harder for their offense to score. Here, they're playing in a dome. I think they want to be throwing the ball away from Jalen Ramsey, but attacking the rest of the DBs on the Rams roster a little bit more. I don't know that they're going to lean into the run just full bore. I think they might save that for some of the home games when the weather gets worse later on in the season. But I don't expect them to pass the ball as much as they did last year.
I got to tell you, Warren, I admire your philosophies. And I mean, I just got to know you a very, brief moment ago. You've been on the show for a few weeks and I met you, and you remind me, and I mean this glowingly, of Wayne Gretzky in the way he saw the ice. The way he played the game was different than anyone that's ever played it before. The only guy that could ever compare to him was Mario Lemieux, in my view, of being able to see things differently and before they happened, play out before it actually went down. The way you analyze football games, you would be a freak to me in baseball with analytics, with the genius of your mind. The stuff that you're telling the fans on Sports Grid about is such an incredible edge and insight. I mean that. The way you talk about what happens with the backfield when the running back gets the ball from 1 yard to 2 yards and the difference that it can make in a game. It's fascinating stuff. And I have to ask you, when did you start seeing the game this way, where no one that I know, most of the drunk fat slobs I know that bet on football and watch football, they're just looking for covers and they're looking for touchdowns and they're looking at cheerleaders. You're watching the game from a perspective I don't think anyone's ever seen before. When did that start happening to you in your life?
Well, you have to take a contrarian approach, in my opinion, when you're focusing on something like football, particularly the NFL, which is such a heavily bet marketplace. It's harder to find the edges there. And if you analyze things the same way that everybody else does, you're never actually going to gain a real realized edge. So you have to look in other directions to try to find these edges. You have to look at different stats. Years ago, probably like 6 or 7 years ago, when I really got my fingers deep into some of the play-by-play data, that's when I just started building up models and focusing more on what aren't other people talking about and trying to understand what really wins games in the NFL. Always when I was growing up watching football, they throw up those big graphics that says how a team does on third down. And what I've realized is we don't care how they do on third down. The reality is, how are you doing to bypass third downs? You don't want to go into third down. So if your team is 10 of 13 on third down and the other team is 3 of 7, guess what? I'd rather be the team that's 3 of 7, even though they have a lower percentage, because they're not going into third down nearly as often.
You're a trip, bro. I can't get enough of your guinea going into these games. All right, we're going to come back and start looking at the rest of the games this Sunday on Pain Day, the 11th. There's a lot to gather with Warren Sharp.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
This is a whole new jungle. This is The Lion's Share. Brought to you by BetMGM.
All right, Pharrell back on Coast to Coast. Warren Sharp is at the MGM National Harbor and live with us today from there. It's really awesome. You can follow him on Twitter at Sharp Football. You can see him regularly on Sports Grid and every week on Coast to Coast. It's great having him on. So let's start with the Eagles and Lions and the possibilities in this matchup at Ford Field as we see Mr. Hurts and company. A lot of hype on them, Warren, to take the East over the Cowboys. A lot of people are betting that. How do you like their chances on the road in Detroit after everyone fell in love with Dan Campbell and the Lions on Hard Knocks?
Yeah, I like the Eagles' chances, but what I like more than just their chances, I think there's going to be more points in this game. I think this game does go over the total. Now, I will say that this total right now, before we break down the game, is sitting right around 48.5 points, and I would rather people wait to try to get a 48, and I think you may get there because Frank Ragnow, one of the starting offensive linemen for the Detroit Lions, he missed practice today, just popped up on the injury report with a groin injury, so we don't know yet. It's only Thursday. Let's see what Friday brings. Let's see what the final injury report brings, but pay close attention to that. Look, last season the Eagles played the Detroit Lions in Detroit. The total was set at 48 points, and it went over the total. And that was with the Eagles calling a ridiculous amount of run plays. They ended up calling 46 run plays to only 16 pass plays in that game, and it still went over the total. This Detroit Lions defense, yes, they drafted Aiden Hutchinson, but I do not think that this is going to be a very good defense this year. I think the Eagles are going to have their way offensively, especially now with the fact that they will trust their receiver a little bit more, and that's A.J. Brown. You know, keep in mind, Scott, last season, number one receiver for the Eagles was a rookie. The quarterback was in his first year starting as a full-time starter with a play caller that he had never worked with before. And their number three most targeted player on the season was a running back. Like, this team was just very young and inexperienced. It made sense that they leaned into the run a lot. But this year, they go out and finally they get a stud wide receiver in A.J. Brown. And then they get Jalen Hurts working with his prior offensive coordinator. Do you know the last time he's worked with his offensive coordinator twice in back-to-back years? It was all the way back when he was in high school. It just has not happened. He's always going new coordinator to new coordinator. He's got more comfort in this offense. Finally doesn't have to have his number one wide receiver be a rookie. He's got A.J. Brown. He's going to command a lot of gravity, open things up at the other receiver positions, open things up more for Dallas Goedert at tight end, and the run game's going to be more efficient. And on the other side of the ball, the biggest key takeaway for me, Scott, assuming that the offensive line is fine and Frank Ragnow plays, is this tidbit, which is that the way the Eagles play defense is they play back and they encourage shorter underneath passes. Opponents averaged the lowest target depth against this defense of any team in the league last year. But guess what the Rams love to do? That's in Jared Goff's bag. He has the lowest target depth of any quarterback in the league last year. So Jared Goff is just going to throw the ball underneath against this defense. The defense is going to encourage underneath throws because they're trying to prevent the stuff deep. I think the Lions offense is going to be more productive than the 6 points they put up last time that they played the Philadelphia Eagles last season. I just think both offenses are going to do enough. And then you got these coaches. Both are super aggressive. Both are going to go for it on fourth downs quite frequently. Neither of them are going to want to surrender and punt the football. And I think it's going to make for maybe even we see an onside kick here. I think there's going to be back and forth scoring for both of these teams. So I do like the over. Admittedly, I got it at a better number, but I would still lean to the over even at 48.
Yeah, and I got to tell you, Howie Roseman has done an incredible job making moves just constantly. The Gardner-Johnson move, the Rager move, and you had mentioned Goddard. Whenever I went to see him play the Chiefs last year, they lost 42-30, a wild game at the Link, and all I saw was him, whenever he had problems, he just drops it to Goddard. How much do you think, it reminds me of Freiermuth with the Steelers, to be honest with you, because they got all these great receivers in Pittsburgh, and whenever they're in trouble, he'd throw to, Roethlisberger would throw to Freiermuth, and the guy would come up big for him. Goddard does the same thing for the Eagles all day, and he never drops the ball, and he's a hoss.
Yeah, I love mismatches that tight ends bring to the table. I love when teams are able to go in heavy personnel and pass out of it. I love when they're able to split the tight end out into the slot or line him up out wide and target him. I mean, a receiver like Dallas Goedert, he really is more like a receiver. He's a willing run blocker, and he's fine at that. But you stick him out there, and it's hard to create matchups for him for your defense that are advantageous. Offenses are always going to have edges when you've got these receiving-type tight ends that you can move around the formation. They're plus matchups. They can get down the field to create explosive gains. You could target them underneath, too. I mean, they're just so valuable assets, and I'm glad for the Eagles that they have a really good one, very underrated in my opinion, in Dallas Goedert, but he is a great one.
And lastly on Hurts, do you think they'll finally stop with all this hot seat? He better get it done. It's now or never. It's, you know, his last chance. I thought he did a hell of a job last year with a team that couldn't win a home game for five, six games, and then they still made the playoffs. Why do you think he gets ridden like he does? Is that just the Philadelphia media and the fans never happy with anyone, including Santa Claus?
Well, I think that he does need to improve. When you look at last season, there's a big split. Hurts is one of the biggest in the NFL. All offseason, you've probably been listening to coverage where they're talking up Hurts a lot, and a lot of that is from fantasy football guys who love his ability to scramble and run and score touchdowns on the ground and all the benefits that brings to a quarterback from a fantasy production standpoint. From on-field standpoint, he does need to improve throwing the football. But they finally, like I said, now have a number one wide receiver, and I think they're going to be able to do that. You will not see, I will be shocked, if the Eagles take this conservative approach from week one and try to run the ball and control the clock and not really put Hurts out there to see what he can do down the field. They need to figure it out because they've got ample draft capital for next year's draft to go after a quarterback if they need to, but it's all open right now for Hurts. I am not skeptical or down on Jalen Hurts. I just am realistic in my opinion. He needs to improve. He's better than some people think, but he's nowhere near an elite or great quarterback yet. Let's see what he does this season now that he's got weapons.
All right, Warren, let's talk about the Vikings' chances against the Packers at U.S. Bank in Minneapolis this Sunday. A big North game as Aaron Rodgers and his new receiving corps hit the streets to take on the Vikings in a divisional matchup.
Yeah, this game's going to be a great game. We've got a couple really good divisional matchups. I'm really looking forward to that. Tua versus, Mac Jones in the Miami Dolphins-Patriots game. And this is another one where you've got the Minnesota Vikings. And we talked earlier last week or the week before, Scott, about how I do like the Vikings in the futures market, how I do think they will go over 8.5 wins this year. We're going to see this game, though. How do they come out and how does Kirk Cousins perform when the offense is entrusted to him early in the football game? Because that really has not been the case previously. Last season, this team utilized 11 personnel, only 45% of their offensive snaps. So far in the preseason, they bring in Kevin O'Connell. He's the new head coach. He's calling plays. He designed the offense. Came from the Rams. The Rams used tons of 11 personnel. This team went from 45% 11 personnel last season to 75% so far in the preseason. I'm excited to see how they use 11 personnel against the Packers in this week one game. I'm excited to see how Dalvin Cook runs out of 11 personnel, because last year, though they didn't use it much, Dalvin Cook, the number one most efficient running back out of 11 personnel last season. And this Green Bay Packers defense, I talked about yards before contact per carry. This defense was very bad against the run last year. They ranked dead last in yards before contact per rush from 11 personnel rushes. So I think Dalvin Cook could be a lot more efficient in this game running out of 11 personnel. And overall, I think that this offense is going to look very interesting with Kirk throwing the football more. There's a lot of questions, Scott, with regard to the Green Bay Packers. They might be without Alan Lazard. That means their top two wide receivers from last year aren't going to be playing. Sammy Watkins, the Lizard King himself, he says he's seen UFOs. He says that he's a lizard. It'll be interesting to see how he performs as the number one wide receiver for the Green Bay Packers with Randall Cobb as the number two. I just don't know how quickly this offense, from a passing perspective, is going to start. I absolutely believe they're going to run the ball a lot. I think they're going to have some success there. The Vikings in a teaser, taking them from +1.5 again, moving through the key numbers of 3-7. I think it's a very good teaser leg this week. Very underrated home field advantage in Minnesota that we really haven't seen very much. This team, since 2014, has the best home field advantage of any team in the NFL if you get rid of 2020, where there were no fans in the stands.
Respectfully, 40 seconds. So without the tease, hypothetically, do you like their chances to upset the Packers in Minnie?
That's where I would be betting. That being said, I chose the tease because I think it's the better option. I do think that Aaron Rodgers is going to come out. And now it's like, it's on you, Aaron. It's on you. You lost Devontae. It's kind of like Bill Belichick versus Tom Brady, right? You lose the coach, prove yourself. I think here, Aaron Rodgers got to prove himself that he wasn't made by Devontae Adams, that he was the one who made Devontae Adams. And even if he's working with a bunch of youngsters or guys that are over the hill, he's still going to be able to deliver. So I don't necessarily want to bet against him in week one, but I do think that the Vikings are a very good play at home.
Well, I think we're going to come back and hit that Dolphins game at Hard Rock against the Pats first, and then the rest of the offerings with Warren Sharp.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, Pharrell back on Coast to Coast on Sports Grid TV. Warren Sharp's at the MGM National Harbor and live with us today, and it's just been fascinating. I want to start, as I said, with the Tua Dolphins, Hard Rock. 3 and a hook scares me, Warren. When it was 3, I was palatable. When it's 3 and a hook, I start worrying. They're playing Mac Jones and the Pats, and Belichick's had him down there all week, chilling the most, acclimating. You talked about weather in Los Angeles. They're certainly, you know, 88 and humid, and, you know, it's Vietnam playing down there. But I've always said that college kids, it really affects them. I don't know about NFL guys that make millions, that they're worried about the humidity. You tell me. And are you worried about that 3 and a hook? And do you sour on the Patriots like everyone else? They won 10 games last year, and now all of a sudden everybody says Mac Jones sucks and the Patriots are going to be terrible. I am not having that for lunch.
No, look, I was against the Patriots in the futures markets. I bet them to miss the playoffs this year, which you guys who are listening, you can still place that bet. I bet the Dolphins over their win total at 8.5, so I think the Dolphins are going to be good this season. I think they're going to surprise some people. At 3.5, though, I have no opinion on this game. I like the Dolphins at 2.5. 3, potentially. 3.5, that's a little bit too rich for me. Now, it's great that Bill Belichick, he's a smart head coach, took the team down there 5 days in advance. Frankly, the Buffalo Bills should have been staying out on the West Coast for a couple days, getting a little bit more acclimated to that time zone, in my opinion. But when you look at the Miami Dolphins, what I'm so excited and interested to see is, do they start out this season, week one, throwing the ball deeper down the field? In the 2021 preseason, Tua averaged 7.5 air yards in terms of his depth of target that he's throwing the football on average. During the regular season, that dropped from 7.5 down to 7.1. That was below average. This team didn't have great offensive line protection. They were throwing the ball a little bit shorter. In the preseason this season, he was averaging 12 yards of target depth down the field. 50% of his passes, Scott, went at least 10 yards. I mean, these were astronomical numbers, night and day different than what he was doing last season. Now, I don't think they're going to come out and he averages 12 air yards in the full week one game. But were they working on some things this offseason to try to get better at it, to try to improve that and add that part of the game to what Tua does a little bit more regularly? I think that's definitely a possibility. There's another element to this game I think's interesting. There's a saying out there that Kyle Shanahan's offenses start off slow. Teams that use this Kyle Shanahan tree, that with a new offensive scheme for the first year, tend to start off slow. That's actually not the case, at least in the thing that we care about most, which is covering spreads. If you look at Kyle Shanahan, 3 years in D.C., he worked with Donovan McNabb his first year. He worked with Rex Grossman his second year, and his third year he worked with RG3. Now, he was with RG3 for 2 years, but he worked with RG3 that first year. Every year Kyle was in a place with his new quarterback learning this offense, they went and they covered the spread. Then you go to 2014, he goes to take on the Cleveland job with Brian Hoyer. They cover that spread week one. Then he goes to Atlanta in 2015. He takes on Matt Ryan. They cover the spread in that game. So they're 5-0 in these games in week one with him working with a new quarterback. He goes to San Francisco. His first season there in 2017, they don't cover the spread. He's working again with Brian Hoyer midway through the season. They trade for Jimmy G. If you look at all the rest of the disciples offensively from Kyle Shanahan's tree, when you're talking about Matt LaFleur, or you're talking about Zach Taylor, or you're talking about Sean McVay, every single one of them, their first year working with the new quarterback, covered the spread. So I think Mike McDaniel is going to come out here and find some interesting things to do offensively that Bill Belichick's defense might not be prepared for, and they are going to have some success here. The one thing I worry about, Scott, is what happens in that second half. We know that the Dolphins were a very pass-focused team the last couple of years. They're going to be a much more run-focused team now with Mike McDaniel from San Francisco. And I'm worried that if they do get a lead, if they're fortunate to be up 7 to 10 points in the second half, do they end up tightening things up late, calling more run plays, putting Tua into more third and long type situations if those runs aren't very efficient, and allow the Patriots to get back into the game late? So I do have that concern. Let's pay attention on Sunday to see if that ends up happening.
Incredible stuff. I hope everybody's learning today, because I know I am. Talk about your story about most accurate quarterbacks. You have Burrow 1, Murray 2, Carr 3, Cousins 4, Herbert 5, then Tannehill, Matty Ice, Tua, Goff, Prescott, your 6 through 10. Tell me a little bit more about these stats.
Yeah, so this is very basic. It got a little blown up there on Twitter, thinking that this is my projection for this upcoming season. It's not my projection at all. This is the most accurate quarterbacks from last season. So this is the 2021, who threw the highest rate of balls on target last year. And that's a list 1 through 10. Certainly there are some surprises there. And some people are like, wow, where's Tom Brady? Where's Patrick Mahomes? Where's Josh Allen? Some of these guys. And ironically enough, like if you look at a lot of different accuracy type metrics, like including completion percentage over expectation, which is done based on the RFID chips in every single player's set of equipment that they wear on the field, all of those quarterbacks that I just mentioned, they rank in the 20s last season. I mean, some guys just did not have an accurate season as we might be accustomed to them having. Should I bet that, you know, Jared Goff and Ryan Tannehill, et cetera, are going to be more accurate this year than those guys? Probably not, right? Like, we know who the really good quarterbacks are in the league. You should be focusing your attention on them. But, you know, every single offseason, I go back and I look which quarterbacks were the most accurate, which quarterbacks from last season were performing the best from clean pockets versus under pressure. I spliced the data in many different ways to try to understand quarterback's strengths and weaknesses from last year to help me get a better read on team success, team performance, and then what to expect from these teams this upcoming season.
All right, let's take a look with Warren now at the remaining games if we can really quick. Let's start with the game in the Queen City with the most accurate quarterback from last year, Joe Burrow, Mr. Cool, and they're taking on the Steelers. The last I checked, it was 6.5 the Bengals were laying at home.
I think that line is a little too rich for my blood. I mean, I don't love the Steelers whatsoever, but this is a great opportunity to simply bet against the narrative that's been there all offseason, which is that the Steelers don't have a quarterback. The Steelers aren't going to be good this year. Is Mike Tomlin finally going to have his first losing season that he's ever had? Are the Steelers finally going to miss the, you know, are they going to be able to get back to the postseason or not? Like, these are things that I think everybody is down on the Pittsburgh Steelers, and they were crushed by the Cincinnati Bengals multiple times last season. Like, I am not going to go out there and lay the points with the Cincinnati Bengals week one, even though I think that there are some edges there. If I had to pick, I would lean towards the Pittsburgh Steelers, but it wouldn't shock me unless sharp groups are coming in soon. It wouldn't shock me if the public was able to get this close to 7, and then you could get a better number betting the Steelers closer to game day.
Wow, or tease that as well, and you're on Gravy Street. What about the Saints-Falcons in Hot Town at Mercedes-Benz? Saints and famous Jameis Land, 5.5.
Yeah, I don't like this game whatsoever because the team that I think has the best chance of dethroning the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in this division, of course, is the Saints. And I'm big on the Saints this year. I think that they will be a little bit better than some people think. But I have a lot of questions in terms of how their play calling is going to work and the decision making that Dennis Allen is going to have as a head coach on from Sean Payton. And one of the teams that surprised me the most, who I am down on this offseason, but I was like, okay, should I really be as down on this team as I am, was the Atlanta Falcons. You know, this team looked like they were able to do things a little bit more completely, a little bit better organized in terms of their strategies offensively and what they were asking their quarterbacks to do during the preseason. Now, it is only preseason. You take it with a grain of salt. But I saw better things from Arthur Smith from a play-calling perspective than I was seeing in the 2021 season. And for that reason, I don't want to come out the gates and sell the Atlanta Falcons here, even though the Saints clearly, in my opinion, have more talent and are the better team.
All right, Warren, let's look at Trey Lance taking the Niners to Chicago to see the Bears with all their fancy plans for Arlington and a new state-of-the-art stadium for Super Bowls, Final Fours, concerts, entertainment, condos, real estate. But the reality is, are the Bears going to stink? And how will Trey Lance take the Niners into Chicago and handle it? It was 7.
I'm excited for this game. I'm excited to see what Trey Lance does. Two things that we haven't really had to pay attention to much, though. The weather, right? All off season, if you're not capping other sports, like, you're not really paying close attention to the weather. It might rain here for this game, so pay close attention to that. And secondly is the injury reports. We now have to get into this cycle of paying close attention to those again. And George Kittle hurt his groin on Monday and did not practice yesterday. I have not seen a practice report yet for Thursday, but, you know, George Kittle is obviously a big factor in this offense and for this team's success overall, and you're going to want him out there on the field. Now, we already discussed the great things that the great things that the San Francisco 49ers were able to do with Kyle Shanahan working with a new quarterback. So I have a lot of confidence that he's going to come out and really showcase Trey Lance to us on Sunday. Keep in mind, people think about Trey Lance and they saw what he did for a couple of spot fill-ins last season for Jimmy G. That was Jimmy G's offense. That was the Niners' offense for Jimmy G. Kyle Shanahan's had all offseason to figure out and design an offense for Trey Lance. I expect us to see it for the very first time in this game on Sunday against the Bears. I'm excited to see how that game goes. Now, I'm certainly not laying the points with the 49ers here, especially if we don't have George Kittle. But although this is not the standard teaser of moving through the 7, I think this is a good teaser leg as well, taking the San Francisco 49ers down to just have to win this game.
Do you think Joe Flacco can handle things with the Jets against the Ravens? I bet a lot of people in that sports book are betting on the Ravens in this game in New York.
Yeah, I think they probably are, and so is the betting public coast to coast, really. This is a team in the Jets that a lot of people are still down on, and then they saw Zach Wilson go down, and they're even more down on him. I'm still on the fence as to whether or not Joe Flacco could be a slight upgrade. He obviously has a lot more experience, and Joe Flacco, like, the one thing that's the knock on him is what we saw in that one absolutely horrific, embarrassing interception that he threw in that last preseason game. That's all everybody wanted to talk about. But he was pretty good in other preseason games in terms of general efficiency as well as what he was delivering in practices to this team. That being said, I mentioned earlier, we're going to see Isaiah Likely, a lot of two tight end sets for the Baltimore Ravens. The Jets allowed 9.2 yards per attempt to two tight end sets. I'm expecting Lamar Jackson to come out and hopefully have a great game here. So this is a game that you could maybe pair with the 49ers if you wanted to tease them down. But just beware that home dogs have historically been very good in week one. And so we're talking about a couple teams here you just brought up of home dogs.
When we come back, we'll wrap it up with Warren from the MGM there in the National. I want to ask you about the Chiefs, Cards, Raiders, Chargers, and Bucks, Cowboys. Those three heavies, including that Sunday night game in Dallas at Jerry's World. There's other games as well. We'll try to squeeze it in. Warren Sharp with us on Coast to Coast.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Warren Sharp is with us from the plush MGM National Harbor down in Maryland, styling today on C2C. All right, Warren, Chiefs, Cards in the desert. Kansas City laying 6 as a road favorite against Kyler Murray and all of his money.
Yeah, I mean, this is one we've been down on the Arizona Cardinals, and the Chiefs are a team that's gotten a lot of people overlooking them so far this season, in my opinion, this offseason. But this line moved and took heavy money from 3 all the way up to -6 right now, with people coming in and buying what the Chiefs are doing this preseason with heavy personnel and the way that they're trying to be a little bit more unique. And then you got the Cardinals. They're dealing with a lot of injuries. So pay close attention if you're looking to get involved in this game. I don't think it's going to go any higher than the current line at -6. So if you're looking to bite on the Cards, that's a good number to take, but you want to wait for these final injury reports on Friday.
Raiders Chargers at SoFi, and Herbert and company laying 3.
Yeah, I can't look any other way besides Herbert and company, but I have not done it yet. And it's a game that I'm not sure that I'm actually going to get involved in. I love the Chargers. They're a team that I've got some futures on to win the Super Bowl. But they are without J.C. Jackson this first game. And going up against Josh McDaniels from Bill Belichick's lineage, they do a great job of game planning and attacking weaknesses there. And so I'm a little worried. The strength of the Las Vegas Raiders is the passing attack. The Chargers are going to have to get some good pass rush against what I think is an overrated offensive line.
And real quick, Bucks, Cowboys at Jerry's World Sunday night, and Tampa's laying 2.5.
Yeah, I can't back either team here. I will tell you this, though, Scott, under very, very, very sharp, came in starting a 53. You could get a 51. That's a key number. I would look to the under in this game.
Warren, incredible job today. Thank you so much. Enjoy the game tonight with the Rams and Bills. We'll see you again next week. Way to knock it out of the park, brother.